It's Teach Me What You Know. Every week, we take about 15 minutes to learn a new skill. Last week, we learned how to ice fish. If you missed that, you can find it on the Central Time page at WPR.org. This week, we're learning how to ace a job interview.
As college seniors return to campus for their final semester before entering the job market, they're doubling down on their preparations. Also, as unemployment remains high in Wisconsin and around the country, performing well in an interview may be the key to getting into the workforce.
Here with advice on how to ace that interview is Andrea Lowe. She's the Career Advising Coordinator at UW-Madison. Andrea, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Andrea, before we can ace an interview, we have to get one. So that's step one. What's the best thing we can do to secure an interview?
It's all about networking nowadays. There's such a hidden job market, so it's all about having some sort of inside information. So doing informational interviewing and kind of becoming the known quantity.
What do you mean by a hidden job market?
There are many positions that are posted, but there are many that aren't. There's also positions that are posted, but they're kind of wired or meant for someone. Just sitting at the computer and hitting apply doesn't take someone as far as it used to.
So when preparing our answers to questions, we've gotten our foot in the door and gotten that interview. What kind of things should we think about?
The first thing I think is to assess yourself. So that means looking over your resume, asking yourself what went well, what was challenging, and thinking of examples of work or projects, whether they were independent or team. The next would be to assess the employer. So looking at their website, looking at their mission statement, their organizational structure. But then also talking to parallel organizations and people who are doing maybe that same kind of position at another organization, that maybe you could interview them to find out what they're wrestling with and what's going well for them. And then lastly, it would be to assess your skills and interests and to see how they fit with the employer. So that would mean going through and dissecting the job listing. I usually tell people to take a Word document, copy and paste the position description right into it, and then fill in the blanks of how you meet what their requirements are. You kind of want to put all those pieces together to show that you're the best fit for the position.
Now, you mentioned that it's okay to interview parallel organizations and get a sense. Is that acceptable these days? We can just call somebody up from a parallel organization and say, I'm not applying for a job with you, but I'm interested about this industry. That's something that people can do?
Oh, most definitely. I've done it many times, and it's helped me to become very successful with the jobs I've interviewed for.
Do you ask for HR?
No, I would talk directly to the person who is doing a position that's similar to the one that you're going for, and just do an informational interview. Just find out, what kind of challenges do you have? What are some skills that you need to be successful in your position so that you can really know, kind of what you're getting yourself into, as well as be able to speak kind of the lingo that they're probably looking for.
All right. What can we do to practice leading up to the interview?
I think there's multiple ways, but it's really coming up with a repertoire of stories. So, and it's also practicing either with someone that you know or maybe you don't know, as well as, if that doesn't work, even doing it in front of a mirror. I think a lot of times people feel like they can just wing it. They know themselves well, or they think they know the job, but it's different when it's coming out of your mouth and if you don't know the questions they're going to ask. We like to use acronyms to help us, remember what we should be talking about. And the one I like is CAR. The C stands for context and challenge. A stands for action. And then R stands for result. So that way, when you're coming up with your stories, it helps you keep it to that kind of 2-minute maximum to be able to tell all the different pieces of the examples of how you've, accomplished something or challenges that you've had.
How long should your answers generally be once you're inside that interview?
I think it's, I would say 2 minutes is probably the maximum. That's kind of the most that you're going to keep somebody's attention and to kind of stay on topic.
So day of interview, how should we prepare? What do we do leading up to the event?
I think, after you've done all the assessment of all sides, it's all about, making sure that you have the appropriate professional dress that you've set up. I usually tell people to go and, even if it's the day before, to map out where you're going. A lot of times if you have to take the bus or, parking might be tricky, especially if it's, in a downtown area. and, you know, make sure you have some resumes printed out. And I usually tell people to get to the interview area, so maybe not the actual office or wherever you'll be, maybe a half an hour before, so at a local coffee shop, just to kind of collect your thoughts. And then get to the office where you're actually going to be interviewing maybe about 10 minutes before, because it's very awkward when people show up really early.
Any ideas about dress that matter? I mean, I suppose you wouldn't want to go too casual. Can you go too formal?
Sometimes you could go too formal. I think the thing to know, though, is that you'll most likely be the best-dressed person in the room, and that's okay. I think there are times, though, when, you know, let's say it's a startup or a very casual office, you may want to find out kind of what the dress code typically is, but then take it up a notch. So if you did get there and you are really overdressed, let's say everybody else is in shorts and T-shirts, you know, you could kind of make a joke of it and take your jacket and put it on the chair or something. But it's typical that you're going to probably be the best dressed person because you're showing kind of what your best could look like, especially if you are going to represent the organization.
Assuming we've got the clothes right, now how do we make a good first impression?
First impression, I think a lot of times people overlook the interaction that you have with kind of the frontline staff, so whether it's a receptionist or the person who's assisting with the interview process. That person usually gets asked later on, you know, what their first impressions were of you. So, you know, making sure that you're very cordial and kind of yourself and authentic, but, you know, being friendly with that person. And then, you know, it's all about a nice firm handshake, not too firm, and kind of introducing yourself and letting the employer take the lead on where you should sit, kind of letting them set the stage of what the interview is going to be.
So I think it's happened to most people in an interview where they get a question that they're just pretty much blindsided by, no matter how much that they practice. Are there ways to deal with that, you know, kind of out-of-body experience where you realize you have nothing at your fingertips and to gracefully work your way into an answer?
Yeah, I mean, it's happened to the best of us. I think it's just a matter of, you know, whether it's you're just kind of having the brain block, a strategy could be that, you know, you get they ask the question and you respond with, "Wow, that's a great question," or "That's a tough question. Can I have a moment to think about that?" I do like the strategy of having some sort of padfolio with your, you know, copies of your resume and a list of your questions you're going to ask, but also a blank sheet of pad paper that you could jot down just a couple of notes or keywords, because sometimes when you see a word, it might jog your memory. But you know, there's also ways of maybe you don't have an example of something exactly like they're talking about, but you have something that's somewhat similar or transferable. But there is also the time where you just have nothing. It's happened to me. And so that's when you say, you know, "I'm sorry, but I'm just not coming up with an example at this time." You know, you could try your hardest, but sometimes it doesn't come. The way to kind of save that type of situation would be to follow up, and this is if you were able to find an answer after the interview, that in your thank you note that you address that, how you would have approached that difficult question.
How about the question that I always hate to get in an interview? What's your biggest weakness, your biggest failing, or whatever? I'm sometimes tempted to just say, "Well, I steal a lot of stuff from the workplace," just to, like, you know, what, I'm going to say something really bad about myself? How do you tackle that question?
You know, what they're really looking for is self-awareness. So you don't want to have the canned response such as, "Oh, I'm a perfectionist," or "I'm a workaholic." I think the worst one I ever heard was somebody said that, you know, their weakness was chocolate ice cream or something, because it's, you know, it kind of shows goofiness in a certain type of sense of humor. I usually go with, you know, the one I always use and share with other people is you come up with something that it's, you know, it's something that maybe you're challenged by, but you know, you've worked on it or you found ways to overcome it. The example I always use is, you know, there's kind of a big difference between being very detail-oriented versus this person who's very big picture. So if I'm very detail-oriented, I'll say, you know, my natural inclination is to go to that right away. And so I know that's an area where I have to stop myself and say, "Wait, what's the purpose here?" The other strategy I use is I try, if it's a team type of project, I find people who have that other side of the continuum so that it can kind of balance me out. So it's being self-aware and knowing that you know, it's not necessarily a really strong weakness, but it's something that you know how to work with. And so that typically has been a pretty good example.
In terms of body language during an interview, are there rules of thumb that we might overlook? Eye contact. Is eye contact helpful with each member of the committee, say? Or what about if they give you a glass of water? Mm-hmm. Is it unbecoming if you actually slurp from the water glass during your interview? Yeah. Are there things like that we should be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, eye contact is kind of a given nowadays. I think where sometimes people get confused is if there's several people that are interviewing you, that some people think that you should only look at the person who asked you the question, and that's really not the case. You should. It's almost like giving a speech where you should be making eye contact with all the members of the audience. And you know, people may have their heads down writing, but just kind of make your rounds with your eye contact to everybody so that everybody feels like they're included. If they do give you water, whether you're thirsty or not, I would take it, because when you're anxious or nervous, that's all of a sudden when your voice goes. I would just say that, you know, if you're offered, take that. The other nonverbals would be to show you're a good listener. So kind of the act of listening, nonverbals are to when they're speaking, to lean in just a little bit, to nod. The other reason to practice with someone is to find out, do I do annoying things? Do I use my hands too much that it's distracting? Am I flipping my hair or am I tapping my pen? Because you don't want to distract from your words. So I think those are really important too.
Briefly, the job market is tough these days. It can be a long process. Can you leave us with just a bit of advice for making it through the ups and downs?
I think it's all about your support system. We all have people in our lives that are good or challenged by this. So I think it's finding the right people that will maybe help you mourn the loss of something you thought you were going to get, but then within a week or a couple of days, kind of get you excited for that next thing. You don't want to be around the person who's, you know, going to kind of keep you down because it comes across in the interview.
Andrea, thank you so much for joining us and teaching us some things about job interviews.
Great, thank you.
We've been speaking with Andrea Lowe, Career Advising Coordinator at UW-Madison.
You can find more of our Teach Me What You Know segments online at WPR.org. You can learn something new every Tuesday at this time.
Next is the news, and then we'll look at a federal investigation into insider trading at a successful Wall Street hedge firm. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.